All right. Turn with me this morning to the book of Psalms, chapter number 150, and starting with verse 1. Very familiar verse of scripture here. Most of you know it or could probably quote it this morning, but I want to read all the way down through verse 6. Don't worry, it's not a long reading. Amen. It says, verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals." Verse 6 culminates it all and actually ends the entire book of Psalms. It says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye," it makes it very specific to us, "praise ye the Lord." Amen. With God's help, I would like to talk to us this morning about praise. Amen. About praise. If you would, put your Bible down, help me to pray, and let's ask for God's hand on this service. Let's ask that God would help us to hear his word. Lord, we thank you, God, for this opportunity to come into your presence. We thank you, God, for the spirit that we feel in this house already, God. Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. God, every time we come into the house of God, every time we come into your presence, God, is an opportunity to praise you and to worship you, God, to lift up your name, God, to magnify you. Lord, let our minds and our hearts be turned unto you and focused upon your will in this house today. We'll be sure to praise you and thank you and give you all the glory that's due unto your name. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. 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 You can be seated this morning. Praise God. Most of us, like I said, we've heard this verse before. It's kind of a staple. We use it quite a bit. We quote it. Amen. We use it to promote worship and praise. I know that I have. Amen. I've said it across the pulpit when I'm leading the song service. Amen. But what does it really mean to praise? Amen. We do it every time we come to the house of God. We do it at the beginning of service. But what does it really mean? Amen. The Bible that we have here today is a translation. I know that may come as a surprise to some of you, but it was not originally written in English. Amen. It was like our King James Version is in English for us to understand. It was not originally written that way. It was written in Hebrew in the Old Testament, and it was written in Greek in the New Testament. Amen. By translating it from Hebrew and Greek into English, there are going to be some words that may be misunderstood or oversimplified, if you will. Things that they would condense together into make one word. Amen. Love is a good example of this. We use the word love haphazardly. We say, I love my wife, amen, and I love chicken, amen. Those are not the same thing. We're not referring to the same thing when we say that we love something. You know, I love Hog Wild Pit Barbecue, amen. It's not the same kind of love, amen. You can love something in a different way, amen. Praise is a very good example of this. Amen. We use one word, simply one word, praise, in our English vernacular to take the place of seven Hebrew words in the Old Testament. Amen. To us, praise is praise. When we say the word praise, we just think of one thing. But to the Hebrews and in the Old Testament, they thought of seven different distinctive aspects and areas of praise. Amen. Each of these words has a specific meaning. Each of these words has a specific connotation. Amen. This morning, I would like to dig a little bit deeper into the seven Hebrew words with the hopes that it will help us to better understand what it means to praise God. Amen. Or perhaps it will help us maybe better understand why we do the things that we do. Amen. All of these things, whether we know it or not, we partake of when we come into the house of God and when we sing and we praise God. And so hopefully it will help us maybe to understand why we do the things that we do in the house of God. If you want to study about praise in the Old Testament, the very best place to look is in the book of Psalms. There are 192 times in the Old Testament that the word praise occurs. And of those 192 times, 132 of them are in the book of Psalms. That means there's 60 other instances in the Old Testament where praise occurs. Amen. David and the psalmist understood what praise was all about. Amen. All of the examples that I'm going to use this morning are in the book of Psalms, and I'm going to try to go through them somewhat quickly, but you only have one book to look at, so it should be pretty easy for you to get from chapter to chapter, all right? All of these examples are in the book of Psalms. Let's look at them this morning. I'm going to try this and see if I can control it from back here. I'm not going to be able to. Brother Greg, okay, put up the first word for me. Thank you. The very first word in the Bible is for the word praise in the Hebrew is the word yadah. Yadah occurs 114 times in the King James. Now, obviously, we're just talking Old Testament. This isn't even looking at the New Testament, okay? It means literally to use or hold out the hand, physically to throw a stone or an arrow. It means to revere or to worship with extended hands. Amen. Amen. I know I saw some of you this morning lifting your hands to God and giving Him praise. Amen. You know, that's not something that you have to teach a new convert. That's not something that you have to tell somebody. Well, if you begin to feel the presence of God, you can, you know, maybe shoot your hand up a little bit. You don't have to tell somebody that, but it's a natural instinct that comes within us. Whenever we feel the presence of God, whenever we want to offer unto Him our praise, that our hands, plural, go up and we offer unto Him a praise, a sacrifice of praise. This is the practice of lifting our hands to God when we praise. We're giving yadah unto the Lord our God. It's very, very natural. It's very, very inert. It's like a child learning to walk or to talk. It's something that should be natural to each and every one of us. Amen. Psalms chapter 9 and verse 1. Turn there with me. It says, Psalms chapter 9 and verse number 1. It says, I will yadah, praise, I will yadah thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. Amen. Remember the definition. Amen. Psalms chapter number 28 and verse number 7. Psalms 28 and verse 7. It says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song I will yadah Him. With my song I will lift my hands unto my God. Amen. Psalms 54 and verse 6 says, I will freely sacrifice. You know what? Someone shouldn't have to make you or force you or push you to praise God. But it said in Psalms 54, it says, I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will yadah thy name, O Lord, for it is good. Amen. Psalms 57 and verse 9. Amen. It says, I will yadah thee, O Lord, among the people. Amen. When we come together, when we come into a congregation of people, of like-minded believers who have God on their mind, one mind and one accord, we do it in a community. We do it together. Amen. I will yadah thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. Amen. That's what we are to do when we come before the presence of God. It is a natural thing for us to lift our hands to God. Amen. We don't have to feel weird. We don't have to feel intimidated to lift our hands. We don't have to worry about what somebody else is going to think or say. Amen. When God begins to move on their heart, they're going to lift their hands too. Amen. Amen. I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. You know we lift our hands. We believe in that today. Amen. But now we know why we do it. Amen. God commanded it in His Word. Amen. Go ahead and flip over to the next slide. The second word, Hebrew word for praise, is the word halal. Halal occurs 165 times in the King James Bible. Amen. It means to shine, hence to make a show. It means to boast and thus be clamorously foolish. It means to rave, causatively to celebrate. Amen. Amen. To be clamorously foolish. Amen. What does that mean? Amen. It means to act madly. Amen. It means to act foolishly. Amen. The word halal is where we get the word hallelujah from. It's the root word of the word hallelujah. Amen. To halal in our church would equate to dancing and shouting and running and praising God in the Spirit. Amen. When you get caught up and you begin to feel the Spirit of God moving and you begin to dance before the Lord, you begin to shout before the Lord, you take off and you run around the church. Amen. Whatever you do, amen, whatever God prompts you to do, whatever you feel in the Spirit of God to do, amen, that's halal. That's halal to our God. Amen. It's to act foolish and mad. Amen. Amen. When I first came to God, when I first came to the very first church service that I came to, Brother Charlie was worshiping. He was practicing halal. Amen. He was dancing. I remember he was over with the Sunday school kids and he was dancing before the Lord and he took off around the church running the aisles. And I thought to myself, that man is crazy. Amen. And I was right. But I love Brother Charlie. And you know what? I became that man. I mean, I said I would never do that, but eventually God got a hold of my heart. And you know, it gets to be where you can't keep your feet still. You can't keep your body still. You can't just stand there and listen to the worship and participate in the worship and not get moved and not get stirred. You've got to move your feet. Amen. You've got to clap your hands. Amen. You've got to run around the church. Amen. You've got to shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Amen. All of these things are not things that somebody makes us do. We don't have a rehearsal before church and say, okay, at 2-minute mark, you're going to start dancing. And at 3 minutes, you're going to take off running around the church. We don't rehearse this. Amen. You can't teach this. You can't tell somebody how to worship the Lord. You can't tell somebody the right and the wrong way to praise God. But as God moves upon their spirit, amen, it's going to be right. It's going to be in the right way. It's going to be God moving upon them. Amen. It's going to be something coming up from within them. Amen. Amen. It doesn't have to, nobody has to tell you. Nobody should have to tell us to worship God. Amen. Nobody should have to tell us when we feel the Spirit of God moving. Amen. And you know, it goes hand in hand. Amen. We begin to feel the Spirit of God moving, but we need to praise to be able to feel more of His Spirit. So as we praise more, we feel more of God. And as we feel more of God, we praise more. It goes hand in hand. Amen. There's times and there's services when we don't feel God like we want to. Those are the times that we push ourselves to praise regardless of what we feel. Amen. There's times, and I've seen it all too many times, that somebody takes off around the church and it breaks. It breaks in the spirit. It breaks in that service to where God begins to move and the Spirit of God falls upon that house and others begin to worship. Others begin to dance before the Lord. Amen. We're practicing halal. Amen. We've got to move. Amen. It's like fire shut up in our bones. We can't keep it in. Amen. I've been there. I've experienced that. It's like I can't keep my feet steady. I can't keep my feet on the ground. I can't keep from moving. I just can't stand there. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We do this so much so that when somebody else sees us, they don't totally understand what's going on. Somebody that doesn't have the Spirit of God, somebody that doesn't have the revelation of His Spirit dwelling within us, they may not understand why we're doing the things that we're doing. And they may think that we are clamorously foolish. Amen. That's all right. If they keep coming long enough, they'll get a hold of it. They'll understand it. Amen. The verse that we read in our text uses the word halal or the word praise in those scriptures is the word halal. Halal ye the Lord. Halal God in His sanctuary. Halal Him in the firmament of His power. Halal Him for His mighty acts. Amen. It doesn't say praise Him. Praise doesn't mean that we just sit here and give God a ho-hum clap. Amen. It doesn't mean that we praise God. Or when we say the word hallelujah. Amen. It ought not to be half yawn halfway through. Hallelujah. But it ought to be hallelujah. Amen. Clamorously foolish. Amen. To make a show. Amen. Praise is not just for us. Amen. Praise does help us. Don't get me wrong. But praise is for God and praise is for other people to see. Amen. When we come into the house of God, amen, and we have visitors in the house of God, we don't, now I'm not, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that you need to start knocking over pews and doing crazy stuff that you would never do when we don't have a visitor. Amen. But when God moves and when the Spirit of God is moving upon you, yield to the presence of God. Yield to what God is wanting to do. Amen. Those visitors need to see God moving. Those visitors need to see biblical praise. The visitors need to see you acting clamorously foolish. Amen. Because then they're going to ask the question, well, what's wrong with that person? Oh, well, let me tell you. Let me tell you what's going on in their lives. Let me tell you why they're doing the things that they were doing. Because you know what? They didn't always come to this church. And they didn't always believe the way that they believed. But God saved them. And God delivered them. And God filled them with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And now they have something to be excited about. They have something to shout about. Praise God. They have something to halal about. Amen. Psalms chapter 35 and verse 18. It says, I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. Amen. I will halal thee among much people. Amen. We can do this in private and that's all right. Amen. But when we come together collectively, when we come together as a church, it's not a suggestion, it's a commandment. Amen. When we come into the presence of God, when we come into His sanctuary, where the power and the presence of God dwells. Amen. It's a commandment that we come with praise. Amen. We do it together. We do it collectively. Amen. And it spreads like wildfire. Amen. If one can put 1,000 to flight, amen, what's 2 or 3 going to do? What's half the church going to do? What if everybody got on board and began praising God with everything within them? Amen. What kind of church would we have then? What kind of service would we have then? Amen. You know what? I hate to tell you, it might not last an hour. So if you're worried about getting out after an hour's worth of service, you may want to keep yourself reserved. But you know what? I just want God to have His way. Amen. If it takes 2 or 3 hours, amen. And I know that doesn't, that goes in the face of our generation. But you know what? Let's let God have His way. Let's yield to the presence of God. Amen. Let's let God have His way in a mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We sang about it this morning. It said, let your glory fill this place. Amen. In the Old Testament, when the glory of God filled the temple, even the priest was not able to minister. Amen. It came in such a mighty way. The Bible calls it the Shekinah glory of God. Amen. And I pray for that. I pray for the Shekinah glory of God. Not because I don't want to hear Brother Wurst preach or teach what God's laid upon his heart. Amen. Because more than anything, I need that deep presence of God in my life. I need that renewing that comes when the glory of God comes in and fills the temple. Amen. And it doesn't happen every service. We understand that. But it does happen. And when it happens, we need to be sensitive. We need to yield to it. Amen. Amen. We need to wait and to linger in the presence of God and not be so quick to go on to the next phase, not be so quick to go on to the next segment or part of the program. But we just need to let God have His way. Amen. Psalms chapter 109 and verse 30. Psalms 109 and verse 30 says, I will greatly yadah the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise. That word is halal. The first word is yadah. The second word, I will praise halal him among the great multitude. So I'm going to lift my hands and I'm going to act like a fool. Praise God. In the spirit. Praise God. I'm not recommending that somebody act like a fool just because you want to act like a fool. Please understand me. Amen. It needs to be done in order. When God moves on you, it's going to be natural. Praise God. Okay, go ahead and switch to the next slide, Brother Culbertson. Thank you. The next word for praise, Hebrew word for praise, is Shabak. Shabak only occurs 11 times in the Old Testament, the King James. And it means properly to address in a loud tone, that is specifically loud, to shout, to command, or to triumph. Amen. The Shabak is to shout loudly or to loudly proclaim about our God. Amen. It's spreading the word about how great our God is and all that He's done in our lives. Amen. When we go to work, amen, and we're going through the course of our day, and somebody says something to us, amen, I don't know about you, I try to make it a point to pray that God would open a door through the course of a day that I can speak a word or I can share something or I can be a light to somebody. Maybe I don't even have to say anything. Maybe just something that I would be or something that I would do would be a light to somebody. Amen. But when somebody asks us a question, We shouldn't be timid and shy about it. Amen. Well, what's so different about you? Well, no. What's different about me? I've got the power of God in my life. God has delivered me from some things. I have a relationship with a God that's able to heal my body. I have a relationship with a God that's able to touch my mind and to deliver me and to help me through situations. Amen. Sometimes I may not understand how God is going to work or in the timing that God is going to work, but I know without fail that my God is going to work. Amen. We spread it abroad loudly. Amen. We command, we triumph, we tell people about the goodness of God. Amen. That's praising God. Did you know you can praise God whenever you're on your job and you're telling them about God? That's praise. Amen. That's a form of praise when we tell somebody about how great our God is. Amen. Psalm 63 and verse 3. I have a lot of scriptures this morning, but at least they're all in the book of Psalms, all right? So you don't have very far to go. Psalm 63 and verse 3, it says, because thy loving kindness is better than life. That's awesome. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Amen. My lips shall shabak thee. My lips shall proclaim about thee. My lips are going to tell about how great you are. Because of your loving kindness, my lips are going to proclaim the glory and the grace of God. Amen. Psalms chapter 117 and verse 1 says, O hallel the Lord. So we go back to the lifting of our hands. Go back to the clamorously foolish. Hallel the Lord, all ye nations. Shabak him, all ye people. So what happens is we come to church on Wednesday night, or we come to church on Sunday morning or Sunday night, and we have a good church. We have a good service, and we feel the presence of God, and God is moving, and there's a liberty in the worship, and we can praise God like we feel like we need to. Amen. And we leave that place, and we feel refreshed, and we feel renewed in the Holy Ghost, and we go out of the doors of the church, and we feel like we could take on the entire world. Amen. The next day on our job, we need to carry that with us. Amen. When we leave this, we go out to eat, we need to take that with us, and we need to shabak unto the Lord. We need to talk about what our great God did. Amen. When we go out to eat and somebody asks us, oh, where are you guys coming from? Do you guys go out to dinner? Oh, no, we just came from church. Oh, church. Oh, yes, it was good. Amen. The Lord came in and God moved in that service. Amen. And God touched us and God filled someone with the gift of the Holy Ghost and God delivered someone from sin. Oh, well, that's the gospel shotgun. You're going to blow them away. Well, you don't have to say every bit of that. Amen. But don't be ashamed to tell what God did. If God did something for you, if God healed your body, don't be afraid to tell somebody about it. Amen. Well, I'm taking medicine for it, and then I got prayed for, and then all of a sudden I felt better. So maybe it was God, and no. If you're taking medicine for it, throw the medicine away. Trust God. If God healed you, I'm not telling you to throw your medicine away if you still got something going on. Please don't misunderstand me. But if God healed your body, God deserves all the glory. The doctor and the medicine had nothing to do with it. Amen. Because I'll tell you what, if you continue to take that medicine and God didn't touch you, you'd be right where you were. Amen. Medicine treats the symptom. Amen. Medicine treats the things that are going on, but God treats the cause. God heals us. When God decides, and I'm not going to claim to know how and why God chooses to heal, and he heals this situation, he doesn't this one, or he's waiting to heal this one. I can't understand altogether why God does that. But when God heals something, it is complete and it is made whole. Amen. Amen. And we proclaim it to other people. Amen. We tell other people about it. Psalms 145 and verse 4. Turn there today. Psalms 145 and verse 4 says, one generation shall shabak thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. Amen. That means that I need to tell my children, and parents, you need to tell your children about how good your God is. Amen. I shall shabak from one generation unto another generation. I'm going to tell my children how good God's been to me. Amen. I'm going to tell my children all that God has delivered me from and saved me from so that they don't have to go the same way, so that they don't have to go into the same area, so that they don't have to experience those same things. Amen. I'm going to tell these young people just how good my God has been. Amen. I love, and maybe it's just me, if you don't, that's fine, but I love when pastor or when the elders tell of the things that they've seen in their life, experiences that they've seen, healings that they've seen take place, deliverances that they've seen take place. I love that. I love to hear how God healed this situation and how God worked it out. That builds my faith. Because I know that my God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I know that if He did it in their time and in their life, amen, that He's going to do it in my life. That I'm going to be able to see those things for myself. That I'm going to be able to experience those things for myself. Amen. And this younger generation, amen, this our youth group, our young people here today, and even younger than them, all the way down to the little ones, they need to hear what God's capable of. Amen. Don't leave them out of situations. Amen. If you're praying about something, if you're praying about a situation in your life, include your children in that. Tell them, say, you know what? We don't know how God's going to work this out, but we know that God's going to work it out. Amen. Not only will you encourage them to pray with you about it, but when they see God work it out, it's going to build faith in their life. Amen. It's going to be something that they're going to be able to experience for themselves. Amen. And we pass it from generation to generation. It is not the will of God that it go to this generation and stop. It is not the will of God that it be R4 and no more. Amen. It is not the will of God that we don't take this beyond us. If we can't reach anybody outside the walls of the church, praise God, we need to reach everybody that's in the house of God. And that includes our children. Amen. We need to reach them. And I know that there's going to come a time when each and every one of them are going to have to make the decision for themselves to live for God or not, or what they're going to do for God. Amen. That's a personal walk issue. Amen. But if we can teach them, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Amen. If we teach them and we include them in these things and we tell them, you know what? I've seen God heal in the past. And I believe that God's going to do it right now. I believe that God's going to work in this situation as well. Amen. And then they see it. They see God heal right before their very eyes. And their faith rises. And the next time they're sick. And the next time they have something in their body. Amen. God begins to stir that memory, that remembrance up in them. And they say, you know what? I remember when God healed my mom sitting on this front pew. She had a rash from the top of her head to the sole of her feet. And she was itching. Prophetically, she was going crazy, itching her body, and she couldn't stop moving, twitching. And I remember Pastor and Brother Cowan were here, and we prayed with her, and it wasn't a minute. It wasn't a minute. 60 seconds passed, and she began to speak in tongues as God gave the utterance, and God filled her with the Holy Ghost. But more than just fill her with the Holy Ghost, amen, He completely healed her body. When she left the house, her body wasn't red. She wasn't itching. She was calm and cool. Amen. I witnessed that. Amen. I saw that with my very eyes. Amen. Have I prayed about things that God has not done? Absolutely. But I haven't lost faith because I know that if God will do it for my mom, God will do it for me. Amen. I know that if God will do it in that situation, God will do it in your situation. Amen. God is able. And I just want to proclaim that. God is able. Praise God. Amen. Go ahead and switch to the next slide, brother. The fourth word for Hebrew word for praise is the word zamar. Zamar, of course, occurs 46 times in the Old Testament. It means striking with the fingers, properly to touch the strings or parts of a musical instrument. That is to play upon it, to make music, accompanied by the voice, hence to celebrate in song and music. Amen. The word for this word for praise refers to our music. Amen. The organ, the keyboard, the guitar, the bass, the drums, the singing. It refers to the music that we offer unto God as praise. Amen. Apostolics are known for praising with music. Amen. That's part of us. That's part of our service. Music is part of the praise. Amen. That doesn't mean that you have to have it to be able to praise God. Don't misunderstand me. It doesn't mean that you can't praise God without music. Amen. God filled me with the Holy Ghost on a Tuesday night after a Bible study, and there wasn't a bit of music. Amen. And God still came down and filled me, and I'm thankful for that. Amen. But music helps us. Amen. Music helps us to praise. Amen. God created music for that purpose. He created Satan. Amen. And the Bible says that there were pipes within him. Amen. And he made music. He was created to make music as praise unto God. Amen. Now he lost his place. Now it's our place to step up. So we make music unto the Lord. Amen. I don't say that as one that takes part in that, because I don't feel like I make music unto the Lord. Amen. I do my very best. Amen. But there are those in the apostolic ranks that are so blessed and so gifted to be able to play upon instruments. Amen. I've seen people that can play organ, and people that can play the keyboard and the bass, and it's amazing to me. Drummers. Amen. We have such a great amount of awesome musicians. Amen. And you know what? It's a two-edged sword. Amen. Because music is made to be given unto God. Music is made to be offered unto the Lord. Amen. But music can also lift us up and vaunteth us up and puff us up and give us pride because we get so good. And we can begin to think, you know what, I'm pretty good at this. I'm pretty good on the drums. I'm pretty good at singing, and I'm not. But we can begin to lift ourselves up. Amen. And there are people that have left the apostolic ranks to chase dreams of stardom and fame and fortune. Amen. That's not what God intended music for. That's not what God blessed you with, the ability that He blessed you with. He gave you the ability to play so that you could play unto Him. So that you could offer praises unto Him. Amen. So you could offer zamar unto the Lord our God. Amen. Amen. And some are better than others. You just do it to the very best of your ability. You do it to the very best of your power. You practice and you try to make yourself better because you want to be able to give more praise to your God. You want to be able to give a more excellent praise to your God. Amen. Amen. Music is a part of how we worship. It's important. Amen. Psalm chapter number 7 and verse 17. Psalms 7 and verse 17, it says, I will yadah the Lord according to His righteousness, and will sing praise or zamar to the name of the Lord Most High. Amen. We're going to sing some songs, and we're going to play upon instruments unto the name of the Lord Most High. Amen. Psalms chapter 21 and verse 13. It says, Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so will we sing and zamar thy power. Amen. We're going to play some music unto the Lord. We're going to worship Him and praise Him with music. Amen. Psalms 33 and verse 2. It says, Zamar the Lord with harp. Sing unto Him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Amen. Those are commandments. Amen. Those are not suggestions. Amen. Psalms chapter 135 and verse 3. Psalms 135 and verse 3 says, Halal the Lord, act clamorously foolish before the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing zamar unto His name, for it is pleasant. Amen. So music and this clamorously foolish worship go hand in hand. Amen. It doesn't mean that you've got to have the right song or the right singer or the right music to be able to halal before the Lord. You know, we can dance and shout before the Lord during a slow song. Amen. We can halal before the Lord with no song. Amen. Amen. But zamar is an important part of our worship. It's a part. It's not all, but it's a part. Amen. It goes hand in hand with these others. All right, next slide, Brother Culbertson. Thank you. The next Hebrew word, the fifth Hebrew word for praise is todah. Todah occurs 32 times in the Old Testament. It means properly an extension of the hand, by implication, adoration. Specifically, a choir of worshipers. It means confession, sacrifice of praise. It means thanksgiving, and it means an offering. Amen. Amen. The main connotation, if you read this in the scripture, is a thanksgiving. Okay? We lift our hands in praise, but we can also lift our hands in thanksgiving to God, to thank Him for what He's done, to thank Him for His goodness, to thank Him for His excellent goodness, His excellent greatness, for His mighty acts. Amen. Amen. We lift our hands in thanksgiving. Todah is to offer thanksgiving to God or to be thankful. Amen. It means to adore our great God and to thank Him not only for what He's done, but for what He's going to do. Amen. Thanksgiving is not just in the past. Amen. But thanksgiving is in the future. Amen. We thank God for what He's done for us. Amen. I thank God for what He's delivered me from and for what He's saved me from. I thank God for filling me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I should do all of those things. But I also need to be able to todah or to thank God for the things that I'm expecting or I'm believing Him to do. Amen. Amen. I'm believing God to save my mother. Amen. I'm going to todah Him. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to thank Him in advance for working in that situation and for saving her soul. Amen. We believe God that He is not only able but willing to supply every need that we call up before Him. Amen. For what He is going to do. Psalms chapter 69 and verse 30. Psalm 69 and verse 30 says, I will hallow the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with todah, or thanksgiving. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. Psalms 100 and verse 1. This is a psalm of todah. It says a psalm of praise. And then it goes on to say, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Amen. We need to be excited. When we're thankful, we should be excited. We don't go, oh, thank you, Lord. No, 1,000 times no. But when we thank God, we need to be showing appreciation. We need to be showing adoration. We need to be showing our thankfulness to God for what He's done. Amen. Our todah. Amen. Psalms 147 and verse 7. Psalms 147 and verse 7 says, sing unto the Lord with todah. Sing zamar upon the harp unto our God. Amen. Sing with thanksgiving and sing praises with musical instruments, playing upon musical instruments unto our God. All right, next word, brother. The next Hebrew word for praise is tehillah. Tehillah occurs 57 times in the Old Testament. It means a laudation or singing of hallels. Amen. It means singing a hymn. This refers not to just the act of singing, which we've already talked about with zamar, but it refers rather to the song that we are singing. Amen. Not just the music, but the words. Amen. And some people are more into the music, some people are more into the words. Amen. But there's both. Both are a part of the music. Amen. The words that we sing are important. When we sing the songs, the choruses, the songs of Zion, as the Bible calls them, when we sing these songs, amen, the words should resonate with us. The word should connect with us. Amen. Amen. It's hilarious whenever I see people and we sing these songs and we talk about, do you know how great God is? I'm not going to try to sing, but He has done great things. And people are like, do you know how great God is? And they've got a frown on their face, or they're downcast, or they're bored. Amen. Do you know how great God is? If you don't, let me tell you about it. Amen. Because he's done great things in my life. Amen. And I have a reason to praise him. Amen. Even when I'm tired. Even when I don't feel like it. Amen. Even on a Wednesday night when I've worked all day and I know I got to get up early tomorrow morning, God is still worthy of our praise. He still deserves it. Amen. And so the songs that we sing, as we're singing them, amen, we need to think not only about the harmony and the melody and how it sounds, but we need to think about the words. Amen. How does this relate to me? Do I feel that way about God? Am I portraying that to God? Amen. As we're singing through that song, and maybe, you know, sometimes I have to flip a switch in my brain because I'm so one-track minded, I get so caught in the moment. But I flip a switch and I'm like, wait a second, am I doing that? Amen. Did you come to give the Lord the praise? Well, did I? I know we some of the songs we sing are pointed outward. Did you come to give the Lord the praise? But we need to turn it back inward and say, did I come to give the Lord the praise? Because you know what? And especially people that are in leadership, people that are older, people that are an example. Amen. Others are watching you. Amen. Adults, parents, children are watching you. Young people are watching you. Amen. Young people, there are younger people than you. There are children that are watching you to see what you're doing. Amen. Are you going to praise the Lord? Did you come to give the Lord the praise? Amen. Or are you just going to go through another service and, you know, twiddle your thumbs and look at your watch and say, okay, preacher, are you almost done? Okay, song leader, are you almost done? Oh, we've sang that too many times. Let's go on to the next one. Next part of the service, I'm done. No, I came to give him praise. Amen. Amen. And the song leader or the pastor, whoever's leading the service, when they feel like it's time to go on to the next part, that's fine. Amen. But I'm not stopping until they're done. Amen. I'm not cutting it short. Amen. I'm not going to let somebody else take my place. Amen. Well, you know, Brother Doug's really worshiping the Lord tonight, so I don't have to. I can just kind of stay back. No, I've got to worship the Lord too. Brother Doug's worshiping the Lord for himself. I've got to worship the Lord for me. And you've got to worship the Lord for you, because nobody can give God your praise. Amen. I can't give God Gavin's praise. Amen. But you can give God your praise. Amen. We all need to give God our praise. Well, you know, I'm not outward like Brother Doug is. You know, he gets up there and dances before the Lord. I'm not outward like that. Why? When you feel the Spirit of God moving on you. And you know, you may not have to do the exact same thing that somebody else does. But don't bottle it up either. Don't stifle it. When you feel God moving, don't fight it. It's kind of like when you get the Holy Ghost. Amen. I know that when I got the Holy Ghost, and I've seen this with other people, when God fills them with the Holy Ghost, they begin to get thick. Their tongue gets thick and they can't talk. And they're trying to stop what's going on in their mouth. And a lot of times they'll stop altogether. They'll stop making any noise altogether because they are losing control of what's going on in their tongue. They're losing control about what's going on in their mouth. And they'll stop. And we encourage them, just keep talking. And I remember, I believe it was Matthew when he was praying for the Holy Ghost. I remember leaning down to him and I told him, I tried to simplify it the best way I knew how. I said, your voice box is going to make the words, is going to make the sound, but God is going to make the words. You're going to continue speaking, but don't worry about your tongue forming the English words that you want to say. When you feel God move upon your tongue, when God begins to thicken your tongue, just let God have his way. Don't stop talking, but just begin to speak out what you feel on the tip of your tongue. And God moves and God fills with the Holy Ghost as the Spirit gives the utterance, as God moves upon us. Amen. And we yield to that. Amen. And after we live for God a little while, it becomes a little easier to be sensitive to that. Amen. Amen. But we still need to remember, amen, way back when, what it was like when God originally filled us with the Holy Ghost. And we need to understand that there's others that are watching. Amen. We need to pray with him. We need to talk to him. We need to tell him, you know, this is what you're feeling. I've heard pastor, I don't know how many times, do you feel anything? And then he waits to hear what they say. And he's ready to explain to them what they're feeling. Because he knows, but they don't. They don't understand it. Amen. I bet you didn't know all that was in Tehillah. excuse me. Psalm chapter number 40 and verse 3. Turn there with me. Amen. Talking about the song that connects us to God. Amen. The song that resonates with us. Psalms 40 and verse 3. It says, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust the Lord." Even what? Tehillah unto our God. Halals is our demonstrative worship. Amen. But the song that we sing during that, amen. God put a new song in my mouth. Amen. He put an excited song, not a subdued song, in my mouth. Amen. Psalms 51 and verse 15 says, "O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy tehillah," thy praise. The song, the words that I'm singing shouldn't just be words, just to pass time. I shouldn't be singing words just to sing words, if that makes sense. But the words that I should be singing, first of all, I should be living them. I should be showing them. People should see them in me. Amen. And they should resonate with me. It should be something that's natural. I'm not singing something I don't believe. I'm not singing something I don't practice. Amen. But I want to praise God with all that is within me. Amen. Psalms 100 and verse 4. Another common verse of Scripture that we quote all the time. It says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving." That word thanksgiving is todah. Amen. Extended hands in thanksgiving or giving adoration. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, which is another word for praise. And it says, and into his courts with tehillah. Okay, so when they came into the Old Testament, and when we come into church, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, which we understand that word translates a little bit easier, but it says, and into his courts with praise. The word praise there is with a song. It's a song. It is praise, absolutely. And we should do it with praise, but how do we enter his courts with praise? Do we, as soon as we walk through the door, we start dancing before the Lord and shouting, running the aisles? We can. That's all right. Yeah, absolutely. If you feel it, do it. All right? But the word that it's using here is tehillah, with a song. Get a song on your heart when you come into the house of God. Amen. Get a song on your heart on the way to the house of God. Amen. So, and what it does, we have to understand things, obviously, but what it does is it helps to push out the things of the world. It helps to push out the distractions that would try to pull us this way or that way. Amen. If we get that song in our mind, that's what's running through our mind. Praise God. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. That's a song. Every time I read that verse, I think of the song that goes along with that. Amen. But we get this song in our head. Amen. And you know what? I've experienced, and I know the musicians here have, that you have a song, and maybe, well, more so, if you're playing, you get to pick the song, but you have a song on your mind or on your heart, and you come to church and we sing that song. I've experienced it several times. Amen. Or a song, and Brother Wurst, I know, has said this before, a song will resonate and will go hand in hand with the word of God that God has laid upon the man of God's heart for that specific service as a confirmation. Amen. So it goes hand in hand. It ties together with the preaching of the word. Amen. Amen. Psalms 149 and verse 1. At least I'm not having you jump all over your Bibles. You're just having to flip a few pages, all right? Psalm 149 and verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his tehillah in the congregation of saints." Amen. That new song. Amen. That God puts on our heart. Amen. You know, and it's you can get a song stuck in your head, but there's something about it when God puts a song on your head or on your heart. There's something about it whenever God, I mean, you'll just be going through the course of your day, and all of a sudden this song pops into your head. And I at work, I just whistle. And I'll start whistling the song because I can't sing, so I just whistle. And so I just whistle. And people don't know what the song is a lot of times. Most times they don't know what the song is, but I know what it is. And it's a way of praising God because I've got that song on my heart. It's tehillah. It's a type of praise. It's a type of praise to our God. All right, last word. Last word is Barak. Barak. Not Barack Obama. Barak. It occurs, actually this word occurs more than any of the other words, but 330 times in the Old Testament. It means to kneel, by implication to bless God as an act of adoration or to salute. It means to bless God. To kneel to someone means to be in submission unto them. When we kneel to God, we are submitted to God. Amen. When we bless God, amen, when it's translated, it can be translated as the word bless. When we bless God, we are submitted to Him. Amen. We are blessing His name. How do you bless God? God's perfect. God has everything He needs. How do you bless Him? You bless Him with the fruit of your lips. Amen. You bless Him from your mouth. You bless Him with your actions. You bless Him by what you do. Amen. You bless Him by what you don't do if it's something you shouldn't be doing. Amen. Psalms chapter 34 and verse 1. Psalms 34 and verse 1 says, "I will barak the Lord at all times. His tehillah," or His song, "shall continually be in my mouth." Continually. Always. Amen. If you have a bunch of junk in your brain that you're trying to get out, get a song in your brain. Get a song on your heart. Amen. If you have, and my wife, I don't totally understand this. Musicians probably understand this better. My wife tells me that she always has a song on her mind. She always has, it's like music going in her head. I don't understand that. I have to make myself have a song. Amen. I know that sounds crazy, but some people, it's not as natural. Some people, it doesn't come as naturally. But I have to think about it. And if I'm trying to get something out of my mind, a distraction, it doesn't even have to be sin, just a distraction, something that's trying to pull up my brain. And this can be during the course of a day. It can be when you come to church and you're trying to pray before service and you're trying to focus in and touch God. Get a song in your mind. Pray a song. Amen. Pray one of the choruses that we sing. If you can't get it out of your mind, pray a song that we sing in church and let it resonate with you. Let it begin to move in you. And I'll tell you what, when it comes time for the song service, you will be more prepared and more ready for a move of God than you were if you didn't. Amen. Amen. We have to get that stuff out of our mind. And we have to get something in our mind that God wants there. He wants a song, a new song in our mind. Even praise unto our God. Amen. Psalm 66 and verse 8. Psalm 66 and verse 8, it says, "O Barak, our God." There it translates as the word bless. "O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of His tehillah," or song, "to be heard." Amen. We want people to hear our worship and our praise. Amen. We want people to hear our singing. Amen. We want them to hear that song that God has put in our hearts. Amen. As you can tell by all of these, like most things in the Word of God, praise is something that's so much deeper than it seems. Amen. We can read the word praise and we can just think, okay, well, that's what I do during the song service. Amen. But praise is deeper than just what we do for 15 minutes or whatever, a service, and then we go our way. Praise is something that we do all day. Praise is something that we do every day. Amen. I thought this was interesting that of the commandments in the Bible, the number one commandment that the Bible talks about is prayer. That's number one. The second most, I guess, commanded thing in the Bible is to sing. That's number two. Amen. They go hand in hand. We pray, and I'm not diminishing the necessity of prayer. Please don't misunderstand me. But singing is a part of it. They go hand in hand. Amen. We pray unto God. We seek His face. We sing unto Him to get closer to Him. Every part of the service has a reason, has a purpose. Every part of our service, I should say, has a reason. There's a reason why we do it. Amen. We don't just come so that we can pass the time in prayer, but we pray so that we can prepare our hearts, so that we can prepare our minds for what God has for this specific service. Not last week, not next week, but this service. That should be our focus. Amen. We don't pray, well, God, work in tomorrow's service or a week from now's service. We can pray for those things, don't get me wrong. Okay? But when we come, and especially before service, that 20 or 25 or 30 minutes before service, that should be our focus, is this specific service. God, do something in this service. God, speak to somebody. Speak to my heart in this service. And we got to be careful, because sometimes we want to throw it over our shoulders. We want to give it to somebody else. God, speak to so-and-so. No, God, speak to me. That's not selfish. Amen. You can pray that God speaks to somebody else too. Don't get me wrong. But you need to pray that God speaks to you. Because if I don't hear from God, as Pastor taught last week, I'll be as one of those that go down into the pit. If I don't hear from God, I'm not going to make it to heaven. Amen. Amen. So we pray before service and we press in. And sometimes it's hard. You got to get those distractions out of your mind. You got a million things. I'm guilty of it myself. Through the course of a day, I've got a million things going on, and I'm being pulled in 100 different directions, and I come to church, and all that's weighing on my mind, and I try to do my best to flip that switch and shut it off, and being one-track minded, sometimes that's easier to do, because you can just, if you can get into that realm, it's easy to forget about that stuff, because you're focused on God. But you've got to get there, and you've got to be able to focus on God, and you flip that switch, and you focus on Him, and you begin to think about what God could do in that service and who might be there and what needs might be present, and pray for those. And pray for the visitors that would come. Pray that God sends visitors. Amen. Pray that God fills someone with the Holy Ghost. And if there's not a visitor that doesn't have the Holy Ghost, pray that He fills all of us with the Holy Ghost. And He renews every single one of us. Amen. Pray that the music is anointed, and that the power of God and the presence of God will come down and dwell, that the glory will fill the temple, that He will inhabit the praises of His people. Amen. And then after prayer and after the song service comes the preaching of the word. You've heard it said before, but this is the most important part of the service. Everything that we've done to thus far gets us to that point, gets us to the preaching of the word, and the word of God goes forth and it ministers to us. And it changes us. Because you know what? None of us are perfect. None of us have arrived. Amen. None of us have it all figured out. And so we need to hear the word of God so that God's word can change us. And so that God's word can mold us and make us into what He wants us to be. So that we're not always staying the same. But so we come to church, we leave differently than we came. Even if just a little bit. Amen. And then the preaching of the word goes forth and hearts are touched and lives are changed. And then the most important part of the service is the altar service. Amen. It's the culmination of everything we've done up to this far. We get our mind on God. We invite the presence of God through singing and through worship. We hear the word of God. And then you know what? We got to apply it to ourselves. And we hit the ground, we hit the altar, we come and we pray and we cry out to God, or we lift our hands and worship unto God, whatever the service may dictate. And we begin to allow God to work in us, and we make commitments and we make consecrations to God. God, I'm going this direction. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to change this. I'm going to work on this. God, help me to work on this. Help me to go better or to do better in this area. And the altar service helps us to take it with us. The altar service helps us to apply it. It's not just the person I shoveled it over my shoulder and threw it at them. It's not just the person that, you know, maybe in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, that's for so-and-so, that's her brother so-and-so, or that's her sister so-and-so. But you know what? When we come to the altar, it's not them, it's you. It's you and God. And you begin to pray and you begin to seek God and you take it with you. What you get at the altar, you take with you through the course of the week. And you know what? You come back. We have a great service on Sunday night. Amen. You go and you're ready for the whole week and you're ready to go out and into a secular job. Amen. With secular people that are not living for God, that are not talking right or living right. Amen. And you can be a light that would shine out of that darkness. And you know what? You come back Wednesday night and you do it all over again. And you come back Sunday morning and you do it all over again. Amen. We don't have the energy, we don't have the strength to be able to survive and suffice on our own ability and our own strength. But we need the presence and the power of God every time we come into this house. Amen. Amen. So praise is something that's so much deeper than just the surface. If we scratch the surface, we can get something good out of it. Praise is good. But if we understand the depth of praise and what God's word commands us to do and to be a part of in praise. And you know what? It's not just for some. It's for everybody. Everybody, praise is a participation sport, okay? Praise is for everybody. Praise is for you. Praise is for me. Praise is for your children and their children. Praise is for the young people. Praise is for the Sunday school. Praise is for the older. Praise is for the elderly. Does that mean that they can dance and shout like they used to be able to, or like some of these young people? No. It's a different type of praise. God understands that. But God also knows where your heart is and if you're giving Him everything you've got. And you know. Amen. You know in your heart. Am I giving God everything I've got? Or could I give Him a little bit more? And we push ourselves. We should. We push ourselves. I'm going to give God a little bit more. I may be tired tomorrow. I may be sore tomorrow, but I'm going to give God a little bit more tonight because God's worthy of it. Amen. Amen. When was the last time we pushed ourselves in praise? When was the last time I pushed myself in praise? Amen. As I was putting this together, the song, This Is How We Praise Him, kept running through my head. We sing that song, This Is How We Praise Him. I was talking to my wife about it last night. And we talk about that, and people, I thought about that, you know, visitors come, and we're singing that, this is how we praise Him. And hopefully, we're doing what we should be doing when we're singing that. Hopefully, we're praising God, and in the you know, we're dancing and shouting and running the aisles and excited about what God's doing. This is how we praise Him, not this is how we praise Him. Because I don't want people to see that. I don't want people to think that that's how we praise Him. Amen. Amen. It says, the bridge says, my mouth will praise you. My feet will praise you. Mouth is pretty easy. We know how our mouth praises Him by what we say, by what we sing. But how do our feet praise Him? By dancing, by shouting, by running, by moving. Amen. My feet will praise you. I'm not just going to stand here flat-footed and praise God. But if I can't do anything, I'm going to sway, okay? I'm going to do something. I got to move, you know? I sometimes pace, and I don't know why I do it. I don't know if I'm nervous, but I sometimes pace, you know? And it's almost like, I don't know. But then when I'm singing, I get a bounce. I've got to step. I've got to move. And then, you know, eventually get to the point where you just can't contain it anymore. And you got to take off running. You got to dance before the Lord. Whatever it is, you know, you got to move. My feet will praise you. My hands will praise you. I'm going to clap my hands unto the Lord. I'm going to lift my hands unto God. Amen. I'm going to show forth my praises unto God with both my hands. Amen. Amen. You can use your hands while you're running the aisles. You know, tuck around the corner. I did that once. I actually tucked around the corner too tight and I hit my hip and it hurt. But I kept praising God. Amen. I hurt. Amen. It's okay to be zealous when we praise God. It's all right. It's all right. Amen. If you feel in the Holy Ghost, do it. Amen. God will prompt you. And then it goes on, my hands will praise you. And then it says, my heart will praise you. I mean, that means everything. Every part of us. God doesn't just want our hand clap. And he does want that. God doesn't want just our singing. God doesn't just want our dancing or our clapping or our shouting, running the aisles. God wants all of it. And God wants our heart too. He wants the innermost part of us to be focused on him exclusively. Nothing else. Nothing else distracting us. God, my mind is on you. The only thing that I want to think about right now during this service is what you're doing or what you want to do. Who you're talking to, who you're trying to touch. Amen. Who I can pray for. Amen. And through the course of the service, you can, you know, we need to pray for the man of God. I'm not telling you that so you can pray for me, but you would if, I mean, that's okay. I would take it. But we pray for the man of God that God would give him direction. Amen. That he would lead him and give him a word for somebody in that service. Amen. Or that he would give him a word for you. Amen. God, talk to my heart today. Amen. Amen. It's what God desires from us. He wants us to praise him with every single part of us. Nothing holding back, nothing withheld, but with all of our being, with all that is within us. Amen. That's the type of praise that God desires. God isn't interested in programs or just going through the motions. And I know I've said that before, but I mean it. God is not interested in just going through the motions. It's not just passing time. It's not just, well, 20 minutes here, 25 minutes here, 15 minutes here, 45 to, you know, an hour here, whatever. We don't have a schedule that we're so locked to that we can't be sensitive to the presence of God. Amen. And that's natural. Our flesh naturally wants to follow a program. Amen. But God doesn't fit into our box. God doesn't fit into a box. Build a box and try to put God in it. It won't work. Just when you think you've got everything figured out about God, and God's going to do this and God's not going to do this, God will surprise you. Because God will not be put into your box. Amen. But we don't want to just go through the motions. We want to praise him with, not because the song leader's telling us to, not because the pastor's telling us to, not because somebody else started dancing, so I'm going to start dancing. You know, we praise him out of a heartfelt desire because we love him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Like I said, he wants it to be like a fire that is shut up in our bones. It's just got to get out. Amen. You got to move. You got to move. You got to praise. You got to give God what he deserves. Amen. One last verse as Sister Reed comes to the music. Amen. And no, we don't have to sing that song if you don't feel to. All right. Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 15. You kind of got to work up into that song. Amen. Praise God. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Amen. I wonder if we could all stand here this morning, and I wonder if we could just take a few moments this morning to put to practice some of these different aspects of praise. Amen. Don't worry about who's watching you. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks. Amen. Praise is a very personal thing between you and God. Amen. I wonder if we could just, as we sing this morning, I wonder if we could just praise God again. Amen. I know we've sang. I know we've gone through the song service. Amen. But I wonder if we could just praise God again, not because someone's telling us we should or because we have to, but out of a heartfelt desire. I just want to praise my God. I just want to thank my God. I just want to sing unto my God. I just want God to have his way. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let's sing this morning and let's give God some praise.